Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, 1859, Lyman Cutler, an American farmer living on San Juan Island, which is in the Pacific Northwest, sort of in the water between Seattle and Vancouver. Anyway, this farmer, Lyman Cutler, goes out into his field and he finds a pig eating some of his potatoes. And what does Lyman Cutler do? Well, he shoots that pig. And that, my friends, is a bad move, because it turns out that at this moment, 1859, the San Juan Islands were kind of on a knife's edge. It was disputed territory that both the American and British claimed as their own. Existing treaties that carved up the territory along the American-Canadian border, just north of Seattle, had sort of not been clear about what would happen to these islands. And this pig incident really set things off, because the pig was owned by an Irishman who was employed by the British Hudson Bay Company. Everyone got mad. The pig was dead. British authorities threatened to arrest Cutler. American settlers called for military protection from this arrest. Things escalated from there. And that is how we get the Pig War of 1859. So, here to discuss, as always, are Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter-Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
Very important fact right off the bat. It may not have been a pig. It may have been a boar. And boar war is so much better than pig war. Why not just
Sounds
go with the
so
thing that rhymes?
I think that was already taken. I think there already is the boar war.
Oh, well, that's true. And then the other thing that I'll just say, if I'm sort of pointing out stupid but obvious things, I've always sort of wondered why we had something called the San Juan Islands north of Seattle, and I just sort of like never bothered to sort of look it up, and this gave me occasion to do that. But of course, you know, there were Spanish explorers going all the way up into Alaska, and there's still these remnants, especially around just before this era, sort of the middle of the 19th century into the late 19th century. And the San Juan Islands were named by a Spanish explorer, and when the British and the Americans kind of really took over that area, they renamed a lot of spots, but they kept some names. So we have the San Juan Islands. But anyway, why is it that the San Juan Islands are like a gray area? Like, why not? If you're drawing maps, you're drawing lines, why not sort of say, carve it up so that stuff like this doesn't happen?
Seems like a great idea. would have prevented a lot of problems. And there had been this treaty that was negotiated between the British and the Americans called the Oregon Treaty. And they settled so many major territorial disputes. And once they had the major ones locked in, they were like, okay, it's a tiny island. It's not
What's
that big of
that
a deal.
Happen?
It's inconsequential.
and because especially, you know, one of the big markers between the two empires was the 49th parallel, and the 49th parallel cuts through the San Juan Islands. So the thing that would have made it easy to decide didn't really help anything. And so they were like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, until it was that big of a deal.
Yeah. And it's funny because animals don't care about boundaries. Animals don't care about fences. They will eat wherever they can find the food. And so I think it's kind of perfect that something like this would take place, because it really does expose sort of like the, oh, guys, we forgot to rectify this boundary issue. But pigs are pests. Believe it or not, pigs are really pests.
Well, it is funny, though. Kelly, you're pointing out like that this is sort of like, you know, at every single level of this story, it's a dispute about boundaries. And so, you know, at the very micro level, it's like a pig doesn't care about the fence you put up and doesn't know that it's your farm versus just a potato they found. And some people don't care about whether there was a Oregon Treaty 13 years earlier that said this land belongs to this, you know, whatever. People are just going to do what they are going to do. It is 13 years after the Oregon Treaty, and that you do get a sense that there was just sort of like either simmering tensions or just a sort of tacit agreement that, you know, we're all just going to do our thing on this small island, which was mostly farming. There was a lot of sheep. Obviously, there were some pigs. But in this moment, you know, as is often the case, we get this very sort of small dispute, but it represents and then sort of ropes in all these other larger forces. And before people, I think, even realize what they've gotten themselves into, it's all of a sudden a massive diplomatic problem. But it seems like it could have also been solved by, you know, $10 or $100, right? It comes down to that.
Oh my gosh. This is like, talk about small potatoes. Like, I so feel like this is when the owner of the farm, Cutler, he's the one that shot the pig. And he goes to the owner of the pig and basically says, hey, I shot your pig. I'm sorry. I'm going to offer up, you know, compensation. So here's $10, which is the equivalent of like $300. And the owner is like, no, thanks. I want $100, which is about $3,000 for this pig. And that kind of like, you're being unreasonable leads to all kinds of political fallout that I don't think neither one of them anticipated.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure that was a great pig. That was not a $100 pig. That's a lot of money for a pig. It's not a cow.
Even today.
But what's fascinating about it is it's these little unreasonablenesses that put these two empires on the brink of war. Because first you have the refusal to accept the $10. And then you have the British military officers coming in and saying, well, if you're not going to pay him $100, I guess we're going to have to arrest you. And then you have the American officials coming in and saying, you're going to arrest this guy because he killed a pig? And you also have members of the American military who had been wanting to scrap with the British for some time. And that's where this begins to escalate, when the British get their boats and the Americans get their boats. And now you have something that's starting to look a lot more like a standoff than just an argument over potatoes.
And one of those American military officers who seems to really be itching for a fight is, in fact, George Pickett, who, you know, if people know that name, they know him as a Confederate soldier who led, what was it called, Pickett's Last March or Pickett's Charge, which was a sort of bloody and fairly disastrous charge by Confederate forces. And there's even, I think, a conspiracy theory out there that, like, Pickett kind of picked this fight because he wanted to draw the U.S. and Britain into war up north so that the South could continue to do its thing, you know, while the North was distracted. We've done
Pickett,
I guess we've
sent
done
that pig to get those potatoes.
Exactly.
I fully believe that.
What a master, military mastermind. But no, we've talked a little bit about kind of in this era how the U.S. was actually sort of distracted by skirmishes along the northern border as it was trying to sort of figure out what to do with the looming confrontation with the South. So I guess this fits into that as well. But it also, I guess, gives me a sense that, like, it's just an era of people are itching to scrap, as you put it, Nikki. Yeah. And so eventually the big scrap would be the Civil War. But this kind of does flow into that in a sense of just, you know, just a few years earlier.
But it's just, it's so petty because Cutler is like, hey, you know, can you keep your pig off my property? Can you keep him from eating my potatoes? And the owner of the pig is like, well, how about you keep your potatoes out my pig's mouth? Like, it's like, what?
Get your potatoes out your mouth or whatever it is.
Keep your potatoes out my pig. That's what he said.
Yeah. Keep your motherfucking potatoes out my pig's mouth. But, you know, again, we're talking about two of the biggest emerging or, you know, two of the biggest existing geopolitical forces scrapping because of a pig. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have almost 500 Americans, 14 cannons. There's warships landing on the San Juan Island. It, you know, escalates and escalates. And I wonder how many of those folks even knew they were there because of a pig. Or at that point, it was just kind of like, well, we're just doing what our bosses tell us to do. How does this end up resolving itself?
Well, we call it the Pig War, but shots were actually not fired. It was settled diplomatically. You have the president of the United States, James Buchanan, he sends General Winfield Scott to negotiate with the British and try to resolve the crisis. And this takes a long time because America is a big country and there's not great transportation. But it takes a while for there to be these negotiations. But they really just sit down and they just agree not to fight. Rear Admiral Lambert Baines, who is the commander of British naval forces in the East Pacific, basically says what everyone else is thinking, which is we're not going to involve two great nations in a war over a squabble about a pig.
Yeah. Mm. And it kind of ends up just being under joint military custody, which to some extent is like still the case today, or at least it is this interesting territory where it's definitely, you know, part of the United States, the San Juan Islands. But every day hoist the American flag, but just under it is the British flag. And so it does really have this sort of conscious uncoupling or whatever. It does have a little bit of, it has a little bit of that vibe.
Well, it was a little more acrimonious than that. There is that fair moment enough in the Civil War where the British are like, actually, the Americans are distracted. This is a really good time for us to move in. And what eventually happens is that they call in the German Emperor Wilhelm I to arbitrate. And finally, in 1872, that arbitration committee says, you know what, this belongs to the United States. And yeah, that's how it ultimately gets settled. I want to see a movie about this from the pig's perspective.
Well, how would
it be a short movie because he wouldn't be there at the end.
Yeah, I don't think, by definition, the pig did not have a perspective in this.
Do they eat the pig? Is the pig bacon? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Fine. I want it from the perspective of the spider that had become best friends with the pig.
Yes, it's only fair that his sacrifice not be in vain.
That's true. All right. Well,
something of it.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode about the pig war, which again, I think we could do a series, or maybe sometime when we're running reruns, we'll round up all of our kind of wars that aren't really wars conversations that we've had, because this one feels like when your only casualty is a pig, I don't know if you get to call it a war, but nevertheless, very interesting.
A skirmish at best,
yes. All right. Well, Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
Radiotopia.